This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The nation's highest court has ruled it is unconstitutionally cruel and unusual punishment to execute juvenile killers. Today's 5-4 decision at the Supreme Court invalidates laws in 20 states, and it's expected to nullify the death penalty for some 70 death row inmates. In a few moments, we'll hear about some of the science that contributed to the court's decision. First, NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports on the ruling.
For the last decade and a half, the Supreme Court has wrestled with where to draw the line in death cases involving people who might be less culpable for their crimes. 15 years ago, the court drew the line at age 16 for juveniles, because that's where the majority of states drew the line. 3 years ago, the court applied the same rationale and invalidated the death penalty for the mentally retarded. And today, the court redrew the line for death eligibility at age 18. The court's ruling came in the case of Christopher Simmons, who at age 17 committed a horrific crime in Missouri. With a friend, he broke into the home of Shirley Crook, and when Simmons realized that Crook had recognized him, he and the friend duct-taped Crook's eyes and mouth, hog-tied her, and drove her to a railroad trestle over the Merrimack River, where they threw her to her death. Mrs. Crook's sister, Purdy Mitchell, says Shirley was terrified of heights.
I remember thinking about Shirley as she fell from that viaduct through air, how scared she must have been, how she must have been trying to fight to save her life.
The jury heard damning evidence about a boy who had no remorse and had bragged that he was too young to get the death penalty. He was sentenced to die. But today, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the jury's death sentence and declared for the first time that since juvenile offenders cannot reliably be classified among the worst offenders, they simply cannot be considered eligible for the death penalty. Writing for the 5-justice majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy began by pointing to what he called objective indicia of a consensus on the juvenile death penalty. 30 states, a majority, do not permit juveniles to be executed. Moreover, he noted, even in the 20 states that allow juvenile executions, the practice is so infrequent that juveniles have been sentenced to death in only 3 states in the last 10 years. In the last analysis, said Kennedy, the age of 18 is the point where society draws the line between childhood and adulthood. It is the age at which voting is permitted, serving on juries, and marrying without a parent's permission. And while we cannot deny or overlook the brutal crimes that too many juveniles have committed, he said, most juveniles are too immature, too underdeveloped in their sense of responsibility, and too unformed in their character to be classified among the worst offenders. As any parent knows, and as scientific and sociological studies have shown, he said, adolescents are prone to every category of reckless behavior, and from a moral standpoint, said Kennedy, it would be misguided to equate the failings of a minor with those of an adult, for a greater possibility exists that a minor's character deficiencies will be reformed. Alabama Solicitor General Kevin Newsom, whose state has a half dozen death row inmates who committed their crimes when they were juveniles, said today that he regrets the court's ruling because, in his view, juries are fully capable of factoring in age in making their decision on a penalty.
There's no real magic in the number 18. Some of the court's reasoning would apply equally to 19-year-olds and some 25-year-olds, and at the same time won't apply to some 17-year-old, you know, on the other side.
But the court majority declared there was simply too great a risk that jurors would be influenced by the cold-blooded nature of a juvenile's crimes, even when an offender's lack of maturity, his vulnerability, and his lack of true depravity should require a sentence less than death. Indeed, said Justice Kennedy, it is so difficult to evaluate juveniles that trained psychiatrists are barred by their own professional rules from diagnosing certain personality disorders in juveniles. And if trained psychiatrists can't do that, then, asked Kennedy, how can a jury? Finally, said Justice Kennedy, in determining that the death penalty is a disproportionate penalty for juveniles, there is confirmation in the stark reality that the United States is the only country in the world that continues to give official sanction to the juvenile death penalty. In 1990, only Iran, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Nigeria, Congo, and China allowed it, he said. And since then, even those countries have abolished it or disavowed it. Said Kennedy, it does not lessen our fidelity to the Constitution to acknowledge that the express affirmation of certain fundamental rights by other nations simply underscores the centrality of those same rights within our own heritage of freedom. Four justices dissented from today's ruling. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said that in her view there was still no consensus in the states against the juvenile death penalty. Justice Antonin Scalia, in a rare oral dissent from the bench, spoke for himself, Justice Thomas, and the Chief Justice. He repudiated the concept that the Constitution permits judgments based on evolving standards of decency. Such judgments under our system, he said, are to be made not by courts, but by democratically elected state legislatures. Today, he said, the court proclaims itself the sole arbiter of our national moral standards. And noting that the court has allowed juveniles to make decisions on whether to have abortions, he asked, which takes greater maturity, deciding to have an abortion or deciding to throw a live and conscious woman to her death? Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.